Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
So people should be able to enjoy heating their homes at a very low rate right now. But the federal carbon tax is going to go up to $4.09 a gigajoule. So you're going to be paying more than double the amount in the tax than you do for the base fuel. And when you look at our cold country, it's outrageous that we would be taxing people on that basic necessity of life. That's why I said it's immoral and they should stop it.
The Premier of Alberta, Danielle Smith, immoral carbon tax is immoral. And she said, we have a right, and we do. With all the riches we have a right to expect to be able to have low-cost energy and heat our homes and take care of our families. We have that right. And I'm just going to say it again. There is a massive part of this world. So many nations are in need of what we have. They need oil. They need natural gas, LNG. And we just don't make it available to them. Again, the Prime Minister of Greece here last week, he was looking for a natural gas deal so Greece could act as a hub and distribute the LNG to its neighbor nations. Send them home. Nothing. Chancellor of Germany was here, about 18 months ago, looking for LNG. Send them home. Nothing. Prime Minister of Japan was here shortly after the Chancellor of Germany, looking for natural gas. Send them home. Nothing. Meanwhile, we're $1 trillion in debt, and people are losing sleep. Canadians are losing sleep over the fact that they have money woes, money concerns. We said it last hour. We said it before. The Royal Bank, used to be Royal Bank, RBG, 2023 Canadian Financial Well-Being Survey, which was conducted by Ipsos. 40% of Canadian adults reported losing sleep, worrying about money. 40%. And the younger Canadians particularly, as we told you, millennials, 27 to 42 years of age, 53% of millennials are having difficulty sleeping, which is the highest of any age cohort. It's just, what's outrageous, 59% of millennials and 53% of Gen Zers or Zetters reported having significantly strained relationships due to money woes. It's affecting millions and millions of people. And the carbon tax goes up tomorrow, and we will all feel it. We'll see it. Maybe you'll drive by the pump tomorrow because you filled up on the weekend. But eventually, you're going to have to pull in, and you're going to double gulp before you fill up your vehicle. I guarantee it. You will double gulp, and you'll go home, and around the dinner table, the conversation's going to be about, do you know how much it costs now? Dan McTagg is with us, at Gas Price Wizard, president of Canadians for Affordable Energy. Dan, it's good to have you with us, and particularly today, and I hope we can take a couple of calls in from our listeners in this segment that we're sharing.
It's great to be here, Roy. And of course, happy Easter to all you, your friends, and of course, our great listeners here. I'm really happy to be here to share with you today. Although I wish it was on different circumstances and we could be talking about a government that was trying to help people as opposed to making life difficult.
So here's the fundamental question I have for you. What happens to gasoline, diesel, home heating, food, clothing, other related costs tomorrow? What starts happening tomorrow as the carbon tax will go up again?
Yeah. So the carbon tax goes up 3.3 cents a liter for gasoline. It goes up 4.01 cents a liter for diesel. For propane, it goes up 2.32 cents a liter for natural gas. It goes up based on basically on cubic meter. It goes up an additional 2.9 cents a cubic meter on its way to increasing 2.6 fold. In other words, it'll be 32 cents by the time all said and done in 2030. Of course, that comes at a time when we already can currently pay for gasoline 14.6131 cents a liter going to 17.61. So call it for what it is. In my province here in Ontario, that's 20 cents a liter on $1.60. If you're doing a quick math, that's 12.3% inflation. And if you look at diesel, Roy, going to 24 cents a liter, that's 14.8 cents a liter. No wonder experts are signaling that this is more than just a small little blip. Yes, minimizers out there, especially my colleagues in the Liberal Party, like to think of it as no big deal. But when you do the simple math, you realize the carbon tax now represents a whopping average 13-14%. That, by the way, is six times higher than the prescribed guidance by the Bank of Canada that's trying to control inflation. So mess with affordability, mess with energy, and you wind up with an eternal problem of higher energy prices. And yes, the timing on this couldn't be worse. In the past, people didn't really pay attention to this, but we're now into an energy super cycle. Bottom line, you're heading to much higher prices as we head towards the summer, likely to rival what we saw in 2022.
What happens, you know, we can talk about Ontario because you and I both live in Ontario, but this program airs in other provinces across this country. What's happening, what's going to happen to the rest of the country? What's going to happen to other provinces? What will happen to the West? What happens to British Columbia? Well, they already have their own system, but so, what happens?
Yeah, Manitoba's up 4 cents a liter, 139.9 to 143.9. Saskatchewan will go from $1.54 to $1.57. Alberta, there is also the restoration of part of the tax there, 4 cents a liter. So it's going up net 7 cents a liter to $1.62. Alberta will have the same price as Ontario. If you're looking at British Columbia, up 4 cents a liter when Vancouver's up four as well. Vancouver, by this time tomorrow, will be 206.9, and some gas stations will be offering it to 2.08.9. Quebec has its own cap and trade. The price is hidden, but I can tell you what it is because it's right there as an energy trader. It's 12.17 cents a liter for gasoline. It's not going up for another couple of months, but it's now 5.5 cents a liter less the rest of the country. Atlantic Canada will see likely the changes on Thursday and Friday when they have their regulated price changes.
And the carbon tax is really a hub, is it not, for additional taxation, GST is added, as well as other federal regulations affecting the carbon tax. It's not just the few cents per liter that you've told us about, Dan.
Yeah,
this is the hub, and it's the spokes spread outward.
Yeah, it is, and it's really the thin edge of the wedge because after this comes the second carbon tax. Now it's applied in Atlantic Canada and British Columbia, which is why you pay over $2 a liter in Vancouver for gasoline, because they have a hidden 17-cent low-carbon fuel standard, which is what Trudeau has imposed on the rest of the country. For now, refiners in Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and Ontario and Quebec have held back and said, no, we're going to just pour in more ethanol, much of it U.S.-made, into the content to make it 15%. Then, on January 1st, well, that's when we start adding fully another 17 cents. So, Roy, let me just put this in very simple perspective. If I'm looking at gasoline, by the time it's said and done in 72 months, we're going to be paying with tax about 42 cents a liter for the first carbon tax, another 17 to 20 cents a liter for the second carbon tax. So that gives you roughly about 62, 63 cents a liter just in carbon taxes alone. And here, I'm not talking about the weakness of the Canadian dollar, which adds another 25 cents a liter because we love to block pipelines in this country.
Yeah. Let me ask our callers, our listeners, if you want to become callers, 1-800-263-2428. 1-800-263-2428 is the number. Do you have a question for Mr. McTagg? Is there a point you want to make about what's happening to prices, to energy costs, to the price of gasoline? And if you're a trucker, what's going to happen with the diesel? 1-800-263-2428. If you have a question for Dan McTagg, give us a call. Dieter in Winnipeg. Hey, Dieter, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
I'm calling, a long-time listener.
Thank you.
You got me so fired up with this thing today, and especially what you were talking about before. I don't know what happened to this country. We used to have trade secrets, or we used to have productivity, and now we're asking people to pay a huge amount of money in a country where we don't really have an infrastructure to get people around unless they're driving. In Winnipeg, our transit system is horrible. No one's been talking about upgrading anything into the future. It's all patchwork. There's no more long-term planning on how we get out of this mess. It's stupid.
Dan, go ahead, please. Talk to Dieter.
Well, Dieter's right. I mean, there isn't a lot going for the country right now because we've turned off everything. And what we have focused our attention on are things that the rest of the world's already building, China in particular. And what's critical, what's really critical in all this, is to understand full well that when you have a country that is borrowing, as you've mentioned, Roy, over $1 trillion, it gets to the point where, you know, if we're going to kill the very things that make our economy run and people have an opportunity to make ends meet, then you're going to wind up in a far worse position. I think that's why so many people are calling in and so many people are frustrated that they can't do anything about a government that seems to be deliberately driving this ship of state over a cliff.
Dieter, a final comment from you. You're the one who's going to be out there tomorrow, and you'll see the results of the carbon tax increase on the boards outside the gas stations.
You know, it's very frustrating. So I'm a commercial pilot by trade. I see how people aren't going to be able to afford to get their pilot's licenses. We need pilots. I fly for search and rescue. That's going to drive up our costs. I have to drive everywhere because I can't get a bus where I live. I just think I'm very tired of people continually putting out fires at the problems they've caused and not trying to find resolutions in the future. And that might hurt us all in the short term, but put a bloody plan together, folks.
Thank you, Dieter, for calling, and thanks for what you do. Flying search and rescue is incredibly important. Thanks for that.
And thank you for what you do. That's incredibly important.
I appreciate that. Dieter in Winnipeg. Dan, we keep hearing about the rebate, and we keep hearing Mr. Trudeau and Mr. Guilbeault and the assorted supporters of the carbon tax saying that the Parliamentary Budget Officer has said that everybody's going to get more money back than they put in, or 80% of the population. We've had Yves Giroux on this program many times. He's a good friend of this program. And just about 3 weeks ago, he told us that he's standing by what he said, and that is that the middle class, when they get to 2030 and reach their optimal number they're looking for 2030 for the carbon tax, the middle class is going to lose money. Everybody, essentially, except for those at the lowest portion, segment of the socioeconomic ladder. Everyone else is going to cost money, even though the supporters of the carbon tax run around telling everyone, you're going to get more money back than you pay. It just doesn't make any sense. Look, it takes us back to Brad Wall, when he was the Premier of Saskatchewan, looking at Trudeau and saying, what's the point? You're going to take money away from my farmers in the tax, this carbon tax. Then you're going to give it to me, and I'm supposed to give it back to them. What's the point?
You know, you have to wonder why a party that has clearly understood, and the polls I think are demonstrating this in universal ways, that they are losing support because people aren't upset with them necessarily, not upset with Trudeau. They can't afford these people. And to now suggest when people are trying to make ends meet that somehow they're ahead isn't just mathematically ridiculous. It's realistically ignorant. And I've never seen it, which really goes back, Roy, to what I've mentioned many times in the past. These people don't do real. They don't understand what ordinary people have to go through. They don't have a long-term objective. And what objective they have is to somehow try to get bragging rights when they go to international forum every year with ever-increasing numbers of people using fossil fuels to get there, to tell people that we ought to punish ourselves even more. And yet they continue to lose support, faith, and trust. The government itself is nothing more than a cult clinging to power. And unfortunately, for Canadians in 2021 who didn't think a big deal of voting for these guys for a second, third time, I think there's now significant buyer's remorse, and so there should be.
Well, they're 18 points back of the Conservatives. That's the Liberals, and the NDP a little behind the Liberals. Chris is in Edmonton. Good question. Chris, go ahead, please.
Yes, my question very simply is, what's the alternative, Dan, to a carbon tax? Because they like to tout their experts saying, this is what the experts have told us is the best way to change behavior. So my question is, what's the alternative? I, you know, personally, I don't know how there can't be a business case for liquefied natural gas to China and India, but, you know, that's what our prime minister said. So.
Okay, hold on, Chris. Dan, I have about 35 seconds for the answer. Go ahead, please.
They're in no position to frame that kind of question. It's based on fundamental dishonesty. And, of course, ask them the simple question, who pays them? How are they funded? And if they weren't such alarmists, would they get funded at all? Look, I'm not going to go down the science rabbit hole with them. They know full well that this isn't about 0.04%, of which mankind is responsible for 3%, of which Canada is 1.5%. It's so infinitesimally small. We're talking about a speck of dust on a porch, and we want to wreck the whole house.
It's good. It's a question I hear a lot. Chris, thank you very much for the call. I hear that a lot. So if not the carbon tax, then what? And I always say, well, why does there have to be? Then what? And you have just pointed out that there does not have to be a then what. Dan, always great. Thank you so much for the time today. Thanks.
Good, my friend. Thanks for having me. Bye, Roy.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.